Welcome to Single Mom Talk Radio on webtalkradio.net. As a single mother, it can feel like your life is about everyone else, and you're always playing a game of catch-up. But these next 30 minutes are for you, a chance to get ahead, refuel, learn from, and connect with top experts about the issues most important to you as a single mom. We're beginning the holiday season, which begins at Thanksgiving and goes all the way through New Year's Day. Family togetherness and harmony is never more important. And it's also during this time that holiday stress, that stress can be at its highest, especially if you're a divorced mom or you're solo parenting. Today, we're going to answer the SOS call of divorced single mother Nancy, who's afraid that her holiday anxiety is rubbing off on her children. I'm your host, Julia Espy. I'm a former NASA researcher, best-selling author of the parenting book, If I Were Your Daddy, and a one-time single mother. You can find out more about me, ask a question, or make a comment on today's show by going to our blog site, singlemomtalkradio.com. In addition, click on the Facebook and tweet icons on Web Talk Radio site to share this show with your friends and help build our community of single mothers and friends. So here's the excerpt I got from Nancy's email. I'm going to read this to you. Dear Julia, I've always dreaded the holidays since my dad left us at Christmas when I was a little girl. Last year, my husband asked for a divorce at the very same time, and now we are divorced. I'm handling this okay, but I'm afraid that my 8-year-old daughter is not doing so well. She's starting to cry over seemingly nothing. Anytime she doesn't get her way or I'm the least bit confrontational, she bursts into tears. Are we just holiday cursed? How can I reverse our luck and make the holiday cheery for my daughter? Help. And joining us today to help Nancy and answer her SOS call is a dynamic and talented psychotherapist and friend, Dr. Karen Ruskin. She's nationally known as the relationship expert. She's a regular on Fox 25 Boston Evening News, and she's appeared on O'Reilly Factor, Fox and Friends, and many other national shows. Her parenting book that I highly recommend is called Nine Key Techniques for Raising Respectful Children Who Make Responsible Choices. Welcome to the show, Dr. Karen.
Thank you. So happy to be here and so looking forward to being able to answer your question that Nancy wrote in about.
Oh, well, thanks for being here. Well, see, I wanted to invite you because I feel like Nancy's concern is much greater than normal holiday stresses. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's a very good statement. It's true. It's above and beyond the normal holiday stress, but yet I can also say, what is the normal holiday stress? These days, anybody you run into, they're talking about certain stresses that they have over the holiday, and people have their painful stories. Is hers over and beyond? Absolutely, because hers is the added component from the past pain. Once you start placing past pain in conjunction with present pain, put those two together, and that just becomes over the top.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that she called it, that she was holiday cursed, which says exactly
right.
What you said, right? It's like she has then done something. She's labeled it. She's grouped it. She's said, this is something I have. And is it in, really, now her daughter's picking it up, it's really not surprising, I would say. You talk in your book about how be careful how you label things. You talk that in terms of children. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'm glad that you pointed that out, Julia. Being able to make that connection in the book where I discuss the importance of not labeling our children's behavior in a negative way is very much in sync with exactly what we're talking about, what's happening here with Nancy. And Nancy's situation, I'm so glad that she wrote in because it's very symbolic for what a lot of people go through, which is when something has happened in our life, we put a category to it, a label to it, and we file it away. If something else happens in our life that is significant and in sync with and would be under that same category that we've now filed away, then we start to view ourselves as cursed, holiday cursed, as she had explained it as, or we start to view ourselves as having a problem under that specific category. One of the key techniques that I talk about, both in my office as well as in the book, is about not labeling things that have happened in our life. And once we do that, it really makes us feel out of control. And when we feel out of control of our life, when we feel like things happen to us and we have no control, that's when a person starts to feel either depressed or experience anxiety symptoms or even a combination of the two. And then we start to display those symptoms where our loved ones and those around us start to notice it, such as in this example of the case that you presented here, her daughter, you mentioned that she's 8 years old and she's starting to pick up on it. And that's exactly what will happen. Children then end up verbalizing what we have said. So if a parent says, I think I'm cursed because my parent died, the dad left her at Christmas, right? So my dad left me at Christmas. So whether it's leaving through abandonment or leaving through death, whatever the left is, but in her case, it's left at Christmas. And then last year, her husband asks for a divorce. So now by saying holiday times, I'm cursed, if the child hears that, they then will indeed start to label holiday times as problematic for themselves. And they'll start to perceive holiday times as being a very painful time.
So you're saying that when you label it, you actually are giving up your control about it. You're making it bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The moment we label, we give up our control because then we are externalizing it. We're putting it outside of ourselves, which is externalizing something and stating that it's outside of us, therefore outside of our control, therefore there's nothing we can do about it.
And it's interesting that two events happened. Okay, her father left her when she was a little girl, and now her husband did the same thing at the same time. But they're 2 years out of, she's probably in her 30s or 40s or 50s, so 2 years out of maybe 45 years that were problematic, but every year she carries this forward, right? She's already, diagnosed what's going to happen. But the thing I love about it is that our children are a mirror. So here she is, this just beautiful mom writing in saying, you know, I feel cursed, and what can I do so that my child doesn't have the same thing? So I love that our children make us examine things and overcome things that we would maybe just live with otherwise. And you might see
that.
Isn't that right? I mean, here she is. She's writing in. She's pouring out her heart and she's saying what, and she's really saying, what can we do? So that's what I want to know. What can she do to overcome? Really, this is an issue, Karen, that single mothers face. Okay, if you're a single mom, you were either abandoned, you're divorced or separated or something. There is some brokenness in you. And it shows up at the holidays because you expect it to be like Leave It to Beaver. You know, you would like it to be that, and it's just not. So how does any single mom listening, how does she kind of handle these feelings that maybe are a little bit harder during the holidays?
Right. Well, you have a great point about the single mom piece. It's very hard as a single parent to be able to feel all the time like you're providing your children with everything you want to, because you feel like you failed in some way, that there's some thing that you wanted to give to them that you couldn't because of the fact that you're a single parent, whether it be through divorce or whether it be through death. And holiday time exacerbates an already existing pain, because holiday time is so symbolically representative of families getting together. So let's take a look at the question that you're asking, which is the question that the mom is asking, right? Which is, how can I make holiday time be more cheerful? Now, listen to the question she asked. I heard what you had said. I believe the words you said she said was, how do we reverse our luck, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yep.
Okay, well, the first
you're a good
step
listener.
Is...
You're a good listener, I got to tell you. Yes.
All right. Well, the first step is to recognize that we're not going to reverse your luck, because the moment we start labeling something as out of our control, as external, as luck, that goes back to the piece that I shared with you a moment ago, which is we feel out of control when things are outside of us and that it's about luck. Now, be it, I understand that there are things that happen to us, true, that we are not in control of. But if we believe we're going through a life journey to try and reverse something that is some type of curse, so to speak, on us, then we never feel fully comfortable and comforted when positive things happen, because we keep looking for the negative. Like you said a moment ago, you said about we're diagnosing. That's right. If we view it as bad things are going to happen during holiday time, then it's already a preconceived notion they're going to. So here's some key concepts that whether it's Nancy or any other single parent is experiencing painful times, specifically related to holiday times, regarding not feeling like their holiday is special. Number one, it's imperative that you create new types of traditions. So when you create a new tradition, this then becomes the new rather than the old. This is the new way you view things. So when I talk in my book about one of the key techniques to raising respectful children who make responsible choices and having really a happy, well-rounded, feel-good family unit that you have within your family and in your child's development of self, it is one significant key technique is about quality time. Now, quality time includes the time that you spend with your children that's your children's ideas. Quality time includes things that are your own ideas. And quality time also includes responsibilities. So if you can create a tradition during holiday time that includes responsibility along with something your children enjoy, along with something you enjoy, then you now create a new identity within the relationship dynamic between parent and child and for your own self. So therefore, rather than holiday time being considered this curse and this pain of remembering abandonment, rather, it becomes you doing something with your child that they love, that you love, that's fun, and that's also being responsible. So let's take a stab at what's an example, right?
Exactly. What is the response when you say includes responsibility? I want to know what that means too, specifically.
Well, let's take a look. We can come up with all kinds of things. So number one, now that we have the formula, so A plus B plus C equals solution resolution. So 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals solution resolution, however you want to view it. But the point is, number one, which is something being, you know, responsible. Number two, which is something that you enjoy. And number three is something that your child enjoys. How you put that together as an example is going to be different depending on that particular child and that particular parent. So let's take an example. Let's say the daughter has really long, beautiful hair, and she loves babies and loves children, and the mom loves to be able to brush that hair, right? And that's a part of their relationship, interesting activity. And let's say the daughter really enjoys spending special time with her mom. All right, so put that all together. What's something they can do? Well, there are those that don't have hair due to cancer and other types of problems, and there are agencies where you can donate your hair. So now you have something that's being so responsible for others, where she donates her hair and the mother and the daughter come together and they cut it to a new style and they share this moment together. So they're spending time together, which mom loves. She's brushing her daughter's hair, which daughter loves. And they're doing something that is so responsible for others. So now they have a very interesting tradition. The tradition becomes what's something we can do together and for another. Every year it may not be the hair. Every year it may be something else. Maybe the next year they might go to an organization and give out food. But the point is they come together and it becomes a tradition of time spent together and for another. That is just one example, but every parent and every single parent and every child would come together in their own way, including the three-step concept I just shared regarding quality time, to create a new way of viewing holidays rather than the old way.
You know, it makes me think, I was just thinking, you got me, what I can do with my son, Jackson. And I thought, well, last year we made a Christmas video, and it didn't necessarily have a theme about something that we could give to another, but I was thinking this year I could say, let's make a Christmas video, because he loves to film videos, he loves to edit them, put them up on YouTube, and we can make one that has a feel-good theme, that can make people feel good about themselves or feel good about others, and then we can send it out to our friends as a gift. And therefore,
that's
we do your one, two, three, right? And it's our tradition.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's
and you know what? Yeah, I love about parenting philosophies and therapeutic concepts are it's not a cookie cutter, meaning one technique outcome is the same for every person. It's that the technique concept is the same for all, but what the person does with the technique concept is going to be a different example per person, depending on them and their child. And that's how you not reversing luck, it's rather creating a new way of viewing the holiday and a new tradition. And that takes us into one of the other techniques, actually, Julia, which I talk about in my parenting book, which is all about positive reframe. Often when we're with our children, if we view things from a negative way, we frame a behavior they're doing negatively, it affects how we view that child and how we relate to them, and then how that child feels about themselves. So in an example where there's a single parent during holiday time, really framing holiday in such a negative way, by rather reframing it and viewing it differently, that then affects their mental health and well-being, and then therefore how they then interact with their child and how their child views and frames
right.
holidays as well.
Right. And it reminds me, too, of a process I went through called the Hoffman process, the Hoffman Quadrinity process. And they talk about something called negative love patterns. And I'm sure it's talked about in different words and different psychiatric terms and different disciplines. But it's basically what you're talking about, which is that your children want your approval so much that they'll even adopt your negative love patterns. They'll adopt your negative patterns just so that they're a part of you. And I'm sure you see that all over. And what the Hoffman process is about is sort of, you know, realizing that these things don't belong to you. You just adopted them. But that, you know, that she reframing, instead of saying, she could easily say, instead of saying we're holiday cursed, she could say what? How would she reframe that?
We
get
to
reinvent.
Holiday cursed. Instead, you reframe it completely different. We experience holidays. Holidays for us is a bonding time to experience our connection and give to others. So she can word it however, whatever way she wants to word that sentence. Because remember, the whole idea is that I want to offer people the concrete technique, but then it's imperative that they're able to creatively word it in a way that fits for them. Because if you don't adopt your own term for the technique, then what happens is you lose its identity in future years because you just feel like you're following something that someone else told you to do. And then over time, as the child ages and you need to creatively adapt to their change and create something anew, the person won't know how to do it because all they'll be thinking back in is specifically what was the way in which someone such as myself, the therapist, worded it. My goal is to help people to help themselves by giving them the technique and then they creatively make their own sentence. So in this case, if Nancy is indeed listening, and any single parents out there, think about how do you positively reframe, meaning how do you reword what it is that you're experiencing different? So if what you're experiencing different, rather than viewing it as we are cursed because holidays are always about somebody leaving, instead, how would you term if now holidays are rather about giving and bonding? Do you just say holidays are about giving and bonding? That would be an example of the positive reframe, but I want to be very open to the person being able to word it the way they want to. They don't have to take my language. Just take the technique and word it in your own language. But that would be an example of it, just to put it into context. That way, for the listening ear, they know what we're talking about, not just in theory, but in actuality.
Well, do you think that what you're saying, I love it that you let people use their own words rather than just, you know, this is what my therapist told me to do. But don't you think underneath it all, what you're really talking about is that what might help the mom who's, you know, has a broken marriage, or, you know, things are stressful at Christmas and Thanksgiving, is to think about what's good about the situation. Now, let me just give you an example. One of the men that I interviewed, and If I Were Your Daddy, is a guy named Dr. Roy Martinez. And he went through a divorce, and his kids were really bent on getting him and his wife back together. And after 6 months of this, he finally saw that they were stuck, much less what it seems like Nancy is stuck in, some concept of how they thought things should be. And he just turned to them and he says, sort of like a reframe, which you tell others to do. He says, now I want you to help me think of what's good, not what's better about the situation, but what are some good aspects to this situation? And at first the kids had a hard time, but eventually they said, you know, he helped them. He said, you know, we get to go out more. I actually spend more time with you. We get to play our favorite games. We play more sports. And they came up with some things. You know, you let us listen to more music than mom does. So they started thinking about not just what's the negative aspects of it, the curse, but some of the positive parts there. Now, don't you think that could play a part in a mom rechanging her thinking, so she's just not putting a shiny label on something, so that she's actually...
Absolutely. And, you know, Julia, what you're talking about here, and it's so important what we're dialoguing about right now, is the idea that it's not that we're discounting or ignoring the negative that has happened. We're feeling it. We're not putting it in a box and saying it didn't exist. When you've been hurt, it exists. And it's not about not feeling your feelings or ignoring it. It's acknowledging that this pain of the past happens, it exists, and I'm hurt. And I have current life situations that are not about that. I have a life that I could name a laundry list of wonderful positives that are happening right now, whether it's related to holiday time or something else. Indeed, it is absolutely about recognizing and valuing and relishing in. I talk a lot about that in my book as well, and just in my practice, my counseling practice, which is relish in what you do have, acknowledgement of your pain and relishing in the positive. So there's this technique and this theory that I talk about in, you know, the 9 key techniques for raising respectful children, make responsible choices, in my book. And it talks about, understand that all behaviors make sense in context. The whole idea is, if you understand why someone else is doing what they're doing and you understand how that behavior makes sense in context, it might not make sense to you, not your context, but it makes sense to them. Once you understand how someone else's behavior makes sense in context, then you can make a shift. So if a single mom realizes that the reason why they're continuing to really live in the pain of the past, and the past could be a present past, like 1 year ago getting a divorce,
right?
That's a real present past. So understanding that the pain of that is what is leading oneself, that in conjunction with the fact that, you know, her dad left her at Christmas time long ago, it's that pain that has led her behavior to say, holiday time is a curse for me. So if you understand that behavior makes sense given that context, the solution is take away the context. And I talk about that in my book, that if you understand that all behavior makes sense in context, the solution is take away the context, meaning if she no longer views holidays as symbolic for abandonment by taking away that context through the actions of bonding with one's child, then
right.
there comes a new context. So therefore, the view of holiday time is no longer the same.
Don't you think maybe she could do some kind of ceremony or ritual or something, a lighting of a candle to say, you know, now we're going forward, and she, even if she does it in her own mind, and I am deciding to create a different future for myself and my daughter. You know, some
Absolutely. Any kind of tradition or ritual, utilizing one's creative mind to create a next phase of life, and whether it be the example that you just gave with regards to a candle, or whether a person wants to, you know, write a paragraph and save it in a book on her side table, or a sticky note on the mirror that's there every day that reminds you, that says, today is the next day of the next step of my life. However, whatever method a person may want to use, again, very open to anything that's creatively positive that works for that person for the next stage of their life. The mind is a powerful thing. And if we choose to say, I'm going to choose that I'm going to view this in a healthier way for my now and for my future, acknowledging the past pain, but that past pain does not have to be symbolic for my present nor for my future. That was a chapter in my book of so many chapters.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to talk more about the signal that Nancy got with her child crying. I want to just explore that a little bit more. But before we do that, I want to remind you that you're listening to Single Mom Talk Radio on webtalkradio.net. I'm Julia Espy, your host, and today we're talking with family psychotherapist Dr. Karen Ruskin. So let's go back to the mom's clue of her daughter crying, that she had noticed that it's more than normal. So this, am I right to say this is a clue that something's going on, because it reminds me of your key number one in your book, your 9 techniques book, which is to hear a child's voice. So it cries out this is her saying, you know, mommy, help me, right? That's what I'm a researcher, Karen, you laugh at me, but the Mayo Clinic's, you know, I looked up what stress signs were, and tears for seemingly minor reasons is one of the biggest ones, you know. And so what then, how would you have Nancy go and talk to her child so that she can give, because your key number one is to give your child a voice. And can you explain what that means?
Sure. So hearing your child's voice is being able to hear what they're saying in whatever language they're saying it to you. If they're saying it through tears by crying, if they're saying it yelling, if they're saying it with actual words, if they're saying it in their body language, if they're saying it in their behavior at school, at home, in their interaction with their siblings, hearing your child's voice is all about looking at what it is that they're saying. So that way you can help them to understand what they're feeling and talk with them about their feelings. The moment we hear their voice by dialoguing with them, they then feel heard and validated. And when a child feels like their voice is being heard by you hearing them, hearing, respecting their voice by hearing them, they feel valued and respected. And a child who feels their voice is heard, valued and respected is a child that feels that they are worthy of being respected, and that is a child that will make respectful choices both for themselves and in their interaction with others, because they feel they're worthy of respect. And they will then become a young adult and an adult that makes respectful choices for themselves and for others because they feel they are of value. You see, a child's behavior is a symptom. It is often a symptom of what is going on in their family. So we must not ignore when a child is being tearful and crying often, just like in this case you're presenting, because the child is letting the parent know, I am not feeling okay. So what you do is you go to your child and you put it out there. You say, I'm noticing that you've been crying a lot lately, and I'm thinking that perhaps it has something to do with, and then you share with them what you think it has something to do with, and you ask them, am I understanding what you're feeling, or am I way off base? Can you help me understand what you're feeling? So by letting them know you're interested in what they're saying, you want to understand what they're feeling, by telling them what you think they might be thinking, and opening up the door to, if not, if it's something else to share with you, they are feeling all the way around that you're opening up the window of opportunity for them to speak with you because you're longing to hear their voice. And that is a key step to helping a child to be able to feel emotionally safe and better.
And with that, then, when they do share that with you, would you also agree, because I found that it's important that I never say to my son, you shouldn't feel that way. Say they say something totally ridiculous. If I say, oh, you shouldn't feel that way because he wasn't trying to hurt your feelings or whatever, then I'm invalidating what he's feeling, right? And then
Exactly. You never want to say don't feel that way, even though you as the parent think that you're trying to help them to feel better by saying, oh, don't feel that, it's no big deal, or don't feel that, he didn't really mean that. Anytime it's a don't, then you're invalidating. Hearing the voice is being able to say something along the lines of that sounds like this is really hard for you, that, and you reflect back. Whatever it is the child is saying, you reflect back. And reflection means you say the statement that they're saying to you. So, you know, mommy, I'm feeling hurt, that, and whatever it is the child says, instead of saying, oh, don't feel hurt, that, whatever the child says, instead you would validate them and say, wow, I can see why you feel so hurt that such and such happened. That sounds like this is really hard for you. That's the moment where they feel their voice is heard.
Oh, yeah.
It's imperative for them to feel validated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done that with my son. He's like, yes, mommy, it was really awful.
Right.
And then that's what you really are after, that feeling of that he was heard. And,
exactly.
And so, well, we are, can you believe, out of time. It is so easy to just nip up a half an hour with you because you are fascinating and wonderful, Dr. Karen. But so what would ending words would you say to give Nancy a holiday turnaround?
All right. So ending words would be, Nancy, you know what it is that you need to do. And what you need to do is recognize that your behavior makes sense in the context upon which it's been taking place in, but you no longer have to view it from that context. You can create a new context by creating a new tradition that's the next chapter of your life with your child. And I wish you all the best. So whether it's Nancy or anybody else out there, I'm really hopeful that these techniques can be utilized. And if anybody wants to check out my website, or they want to read some interesting parenting articles, learn more about some of these techniques, and of course, you know, they're more than welcome to read the book. It is straight through my website. And anybody that mentions that they heard this program, I'm happy to provide an autographed copy of my book. If they do it right through my website, then I can see them ordering it and I can actually autograph it for them.
Oh, I love it. Nine key techniques.
Do you want me to share the website?
Yeah.
Okay. So the name of the book is The Nine Key Techniques for Raising Respectful Children Who Make Responsible Choices. And the website is www.drkarenruskin.com. So drkarenruskin, drkarenruskin.com.
And thank you, Dr. Karen. I love those new traditions. 1, 2, 3, responsible, something you love, something they love. I love that. Reframe it. And I just thanks so much for sharing this here so we can get through the holidays and make it the best ever.
My pleasure.
Oh, it is so great. I want to have you back. So I want to remind everyone who's listening to link to the show by Facebooking, tweeting it to your friends. Come join me on singlemomtalkradio.com. Leave your comments and make sure to turn in next week as we bring you the issues that are most important to you. This is Julia Espy for Single Mom Talk Radio. Talk to you next week.